already been done twice, so we can do it. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Chapters entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. Text number 50. Tathirhatatmanamastuti karma puja. Karma smritis charanayo shravanam katayam. Karma smritis charanayo shravanam katayam. Samsevaya tvai vineti sar angaya kim. Samsevaya tvai vineti sar angaya kim. Bhaktam bhaktim jana paramahansa gata labheta. Bhaktim jana paramahansa gato labheta. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas? Purport. The Vedas enjoin Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedya Nabahuna Strutena. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by studying the Vedas and offering prayers. Only by the grace of the Supreme Lord can one understand Him. The process of understanding the Lord, therefore, is bhakti. Without bhakti, simply following the Vedic injunctions to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth will not at all be helpful at all. The process of bhakti is understood by the Paramahansas, one who has accepted the essence of everything. The results of bhakti are reserved for such a Paramahansa, and this stage cannot be attained by any Vedic process other than devotional service. Other processes, such as jnana and yoga, may be successful only when mixed with bhakti. When we speak of jnana yoga, karma yoga, and dhyana yoga, the word yoga indicates bhakti. Bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, executed with intelligence and full knowledge, is the only successful method for going back home, back to Godhead. If one wants to be liberated from the pangs of material existence, he should take to devotional service for a quick attainment of this goal. End of purport. Translation again. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons, to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas? Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Sakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj are very deep in realization of the process of devotional service, and also filled with much bhakti. Here Prahlad Maharaj is giving the complete understanding of what it means to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord, or to make the Lord the center of one's life, is actually the purpose of life. And here it's explained how that is being done. He mentioned six types of activities which center around devotional service, offering prayers. We do that every day. In fact, practically everything we do is basically done in a mood of prayer. Even when we begin our taking of prasadam, we offer a prayer. We offer prayers upon getting up in the morning. We offer our obeisances, our prayers to our spiritual master, to the Supreme Lord. We offer prayers when we come into the temple. We offer prayers in the process of glorifying the Lord. It's all prayer. The process of offering prayers is a constant feature of the day's activities in executing one's devotional service. Dedicating all the results of one's activities. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi yat anasya jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasi tu kunte yat tat kurusha mararpanya. He recommends, but when Krishna recommends, he's explaining that this is not an option. It is actually the way to worship me. He says, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, all sacrifices you perform, all your activities should center around offering the real results to me. Make me the center of everything you do, your family, your occupation, your recreation. Whatever you do, even it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the residents of Vrindavan, they take rest at night. But when they take rest at night, they're taking rest so they can, again, wake up the next morning energized in order to serve the Lord with full devotion. Their only purpose of taking rest is so they can and serve the Lord nicely. It's not a personal thing. It's not like, well, I have to take rest because I want to take rest, or I need to take rest. I take rest because it's a devotional principle that adds to my service to the Lord. So here, dedicating all the results of one's activities, worshiping you. We see there's so many forms of worshiping the Lord. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is the supreme form of all worship. That is the highest form of worship. There is no greater form of worship, especially in this age, than to glorify the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Out of all, searching through all Vedic knowledge and Vedic literatures, one cannot find a more sublime and more perfect process to worship and glorify the Lord than to chant the Lord's holy name. It is emphasized, it is recommended, it is practiced by the great souls, this chanting of the holy name. But we worship the Lord also in other ways too. We chant other prayers, other mantras. We worship the Lord by worshiping His deity form. We actually worship the Lord when we actually serve the Lord's devotees, because the Lord is in the heart of the devotee. Or when we actually go out and preach to the conditioned souls, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting in the heart of the conditioned soul. So when we're actually serving that conditioned soul by giving them bhakti, a chance to engage in devotional service, we're actually worshiping the Lord that is situated within the heart of that living entity. So in that way, we are also worshiping the Lord. So worship the Lord can be found in so many aspects of our existence. Working on your behalf. And sometimes, many times, we make a division between spiritual activities and material activities. But here, Prahlad Maharaj doesn't make that distinction. That even our day-to-day work in the world, those of us who are connected with family and occupation, they see that their work is actually serving the Lord, because the to maintain their families nicely so they can practice devotional service successfully within the Grihastha ashram is a feature of worshiping the Lord. So that becomes devotional service also, because to do one's, what we say, responsibilities in the world as a service to the Lord, which allows one to practice the Grihastha ashram successfully and, what we say, happily. Always remembering your lotus feet and hearing about your glories. Now the Prahlad Maharaj ends with the things that are more fundamental to, what we say, the essence, to remember the Lord, which is really the purpose of all devotional activities. Everything is meant to serve the Lord, but the goal of that service is to help us remember the Lord. If we're serving, that's nice, and we're offering the results, that's nice, but we should also understand that Smaranam really is the basis of everything. Because remembering the Lord is the perfection of life. And to forget the Lord is considered the greatest of all anomalies, the greatest of all misfortunes. So to remember the Lord is the goal of all activities. To chant the holy names of the Lord and to remember the Lord by chanting the Lord's holy name. Because when you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, by absorbing yourself in the holy name, that name is none different than Krishna. So when you're absorbed in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that name actually reveals Krishna in all his forms, his qualities, and his pastimes, because Krishna's name is Krishna. So by absorbing ourselves in our chanting attentively with attention and with devotion, with enthusiasm, we're actually remembering the Lord, which is the perfection of devotional activities. And hearing about the glories of the Lord. To hear about the glories of the Lord, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantastatadadritaha. That the great souls, they're always, this is the quality of a great soul, always eager to hear the glories of the Lord. Always eager to hear the glory. Never tiring to hear the glories of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he of course is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's playing the role of a great devotee, a pure devotee, a perfected devotee. And he showed by his own example how eager he was here to hear the glories of the Lord. Gadadhar Pandit used to read Srimad Bhagavatam so sweetly, with so much devotion. Gadadhar Pandit was the epitome of sweetness. And when he would read Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya would be so eager to hear. And he would read the stories of Prahlad Maharaj. He would read the whole pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. And Lord Chaitanya would listen. And then after hearing the whole pastime, he would tell Gadadhar Pandit, you read it again. And then after he would read it again, he he would say, read it again and again. And it's explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur that the Lord would ask Gadadhar Pandit to read it up to 100 times. How he loved to hear not only the glories of the Lord, but the glories of the Lord's pure devotees. The pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj, was Lord Chaitanya's eagerness in hearing. How much he absorbed himself in that. And here he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Lord is teaching by example, but he's also relishing within his own mind and heart the glories of his own himself in his various incarnations and in the glories of his pure devotees. So to hear the glories of the Lord is Satam Prasangam Brahmahirya Samvido Bhavanti Hitkarna Rasayana Kata. Rasayana Kata, it's so sweet to hear the glories of the Lord. The glories of the Lord are the epitome of all topics. The topics we hear in the mundane world. You know, people are eager to talk about and hear about the topics of the politicians. And especially, you know, when there's elections or there's some political activity that it seems to be so important. And the newspapers focus on this. Everyone buys more newspapers and people talk about more politics. They hear about sporting. Now I think even more, years ago, I remember as I was growing up, politics was more important than sports, but I think sports are more important than politics nowadays. It shows how the world have changed. Because people are, they still hear politics a lot, but it's pretty much, it gets kind of dry after a while. But even within the mundane sense, the mundane becomes more mundane. But in sports, about the hero, sports heroes and their achievements, and now you see their faces on everything, all the advertisements and all the products that people sell, and so it's all about sports heroes, you know, cricket heroes, and in America it's football heroes, and basketball heroes, and what else? I don't know. So many other types of activities. Just like the city of Chicago has been given a bid for to host the Olympic game, the World Olympics in the year 2016. So some cities have been offered a bid to host the World Olympics. That means people from hundreds and thousands of people from all over the world and will be coming to these cities, and there'll be so much money and so much prestige coming in. So the city of Chicago now is doing this whole restructuring of their city. They're building and widening the roads and fixing the buildings and making everything more and more presentable. So their bid will be selected just to host this sports tournament. And it's still 9 years away, right? No, I'm sorry, 8 years away. And they're all fired up about it. Who knows what will happen in 8 years? May not even be Chicago, may not even be there, you know? Never know. Could fall into Lake Michigan. So, you know, this is the way people think, you know, when it comes to hearing the glories or the so-called, it's not glories, it's more like gories. I can use the word gory. The gories of the mundane personalities. But to hear the glories of the Lord, one never gets tired. One never gets saturated. And this is really the heart of devotional service, to hear about the Lord, the sweetness of the Lord's pastimes. One can never get enough of it. It's like when you read the scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, full of the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord with such deep meaning. that one can never exhaust the meanings that are there within those leelas. Just like we were hearing Sunday, Devamrit Swami Maharaj was speaking about the pastime of Gopinath Patanyakya. And he was bringing out so many interesting and more and very important points that were found within that pastimes that are very much relevant to our day-to-day life and devotional service. And I was speaking with Maharaj yesterday, and I said, "Wow, Maharaj, that was a very interesting talk." He said, "Yeah, but I didn't really bring out all the points. There were many more." He said, "There was at least two or three more I should have, but I was focusing on certain ones." He said, "It's such an intricate and very mysterious leela. So you can take one leela and just hear it over and over again and just go deeper into the meanings and how these meanings of these leelas and the sweetness of the leelas and how they apply to our day-to-day life and devotional service." So this is Krishna consciousness. So bhakti is an unlimited ocean of sweetness and devotion centered around hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So we should never say, "Well, I got nothing to do," or "Things are getting dry and boring." If things are boring and dry, that means we've somehow missed the understanding of what this process of devotional service is all about. We see sometimes devotees are engaged in the same devotional service for years and years and years, doing the same service. Just like we have our Daruka Prabhu. He drives the devotees around. And he's wherever it's necessary, he'll take the devotees. Wherever it is, to the airports or to the hospitals, to wherever they want to go. He loves his service. And I came here at least 10 years ago, 11 years ago, no, actually 11 years ago, he was doing that same service. And he loves his service. And to drive in Bombay traffic, I mean, you really have to have a deep understanding of service to the Vaishnavas to be able to drive Bombay traffic every day. That is an amazing quality. Amazing quality. And I was talking to him the other day. I was saying, "How long do you have been doing?" He says, 11 years. I said, "You like your service?" He says, "Yeah." He enjoys it. He likes serving the Vaishnavas in that way. So, I mean, this is really Krishna conscious. To do that same service year after year after year, even though it may be difficult, or maybe sometimes very uncertain when you're actually asked to do the service. Sometimes he's asked early in the morning, sometimes late at night. So this is Krishna conscious. That one is finding the relish. Why? Because it's all about offering our love to Krishna in the form of the service. So out of all the processes of spiritual elevation, bhakti is the best, because bhakti is the essence of all activities. It says here that even the other processes such as jnana yoga, jnana and yoga and dhyana, karma yoga, all these other processes, when entered into, cannot be successful, even within themselves, unless there's an element of bhakti within the process. Actually, bhakti pervades all of existence. The idea of dedication, dedication to something, is the essence of the living being's existence. Everyone is dedicated to something. So you take that dedication, or that allegiance, or that love for, affection for, whatever it may be, a person, an object, an activity, or something. That is a principle of bhakti. But in the mundane sense, it's perverted towards what we say the temporary, and therefore it doesn't give satisfaction or happiness. But that principle exists as the essence of the living being's existence. Bhakti is you. You are bhakti. Bhakti is the essence of our life. It's life itself. And the object, the supreme object of bhakti, or where bhakti originates and what bhakti is meant to be offered, is to the source of bhakti, and that is to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when everything the living entity performs is directed towards the Supreme Personality of Bhakti, that is the perfection of bhakti, then bhakti has reached its perfection. Or the activity of bhakti has reached its perfected. But the experience, the happiness, the knowledge, and the features that come by way of the process of bhakti are given by the object of bhakti. In other words, Krishna, when Krishna is satisfied by our activity, he gives you bhakti. You actually get bhakti. Here, that verse is the very beginning of the purport. Nayam atma pavachanena labhyo namedya nas bahu na bahuna stutena. Not by extendance of bouts of hearing, not by great intelligence, not by any other process, not by any endeavor on one's own efforts can one achieve bhakti. Only when Krishna is pleased by our attempts to practice the process of bhakti does bhakti actually manifest within one's life. So the essence of the practice of bhakti is to please the object that we're performing the activity for. So when we please the Lord, when we please the Lord by pleasing the Lord's devotees, then bhakti manifests. And what is the characteristic of bhakti? What are some of the features on how bhakti manifests in one's life? There's a beautiful verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where it says that when a hungry person takes food, and by the process of eating, three things happen. One becomes, hunger becomes satisfied, the body becomes nourished, and one achieves happiness. One feels happy. So three things. So in the same way, when one performs the process of devotional service, bhakti manifests in three things. That one becomes free from the attachments and the sufferings of material life. One becomes happy by engaging in that process. And one awakens to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of bhakti. So bhakti in itself is complete, and everything is manifested through bhakti. Knowledge is there, happiness is there, joy is there, happiness is there, knowledge is there, success is there, freedom from suffering. Everything comes by way. One doesn't have to practice any other process separate from bhakti to achieve anything in life. Bhakti is this a complete process. Knowledge and renunciation are also included within the process of bhakti. One doesn't have to practice knowledge and cultivate knowledge separately. One doesn't have to, when we say, develop renunciation separate. The process of bhakti includes knowledge and renunciation. But Rupa Goswami explains that in the beginning, when one starts to engage in devotional service, one should cultivate some preliminary knowledge and practice detachment from material sense objects until one becomes fixed in the process of bhakti. Then when one becomes fixed in the process of bhakti, that process itself includes renunciation of material sense objects and knowledge. Just like it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by engaging in devotional service, causeless knowledge and detachment automatically occur. That's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, first canto. I think verse number 11, is it? I'm not sure which one of those verses, 10 or 11. Automatically, these things occur when one is engaged in devotional service. So the process of bhakti is complete, and there's no greater achievement than to be fixed in devotional service, because only by devotional service can one achieve the goal of life, which is love for the Supreme Personality, prema pumartha mahan. Krishna is attracted only by bhakti. There is three things: bhakti, bhakta, and Bhagavan. Bhakta is the devotee, Bhagavan is the Supreme Lord, but bhakti is the process. And out of the three, bhakti is the most powerful, because bhakti can control and attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord becomes, what we say, the property of his devotee through the process of bhakti. Pure bhakti. When we speak of bhakti, we speak of bhakti that is free from karma, jnana, yoga, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, or bhakti that is performed with a desire for liberation. Any other motivation within the process of executing devotional service tinges or creates what is reduces actually the benefits of pure bhakti. Just like if you have pure sweet rice, nice farm fresh milk coming from the cows of your own farm, and best of all basmati rice, and the finest quality sugar, and cooked by the finest cooks, and offered with great devotion on the altar to the Lord, and then served nicely. And then just before you're about to eat it, somebody drops some sand in it. Oh, man. What happened? In other words, if you add something other than the necessary and pure ingredients, it's not the same. It's just not as relishable. So when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about bhakti in the sense of pure bhakti. And bhakti is pure. We give a condition of there are other types of bhakti. But that when we say bhakti is mixed with something else. But really bhakti is really only relished fully when it is comes by way of when it's executed with pure motivation. Ayabilasita sunya jnana karmananavritam anukulena krishna silanam bhakti uttama. This is pure devotional service. When devotional service is free from the desire for results of the activities, I mean, we struggle with that. I mean, everyone struggles with that. Why do something if you don't really look toward the results? Or you try to somehow or other enjoy the results? Or see the results as necessary part of the process? Results are there, but actually a devotee is not, a real devotee is not interested in results. Because results, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, you can do your duty, but the results are not up to you anyway. I give the results. And even if the results come out according to how we may see them, if Krishna is not pleased, then Shrama Evihi Kevalam, it's a useless waste of time. So therefore, to offer whatever we do with a desire to please the Lord, that is the result of the offering. Just to try to please the Lord, please the Lord's devotees, and to push on the process of devotional service free from that, those other any other personal motivation, then bhakti actually becomes relishable. Otherwise, if we're attached to the results of our activities, then we're motivated by that, and then when the results don't come, it decreases our motivation. Oh, is it? And you can never tell what is a successful endeavor. You can never tell by the results. Just like back in the early days of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada was preaching in New York. It was even before he went to Los Angeles and San Francisco. He was still on the East Coast yet. Devotees made an attempt to make a public program for Prabhupada, and they hired this big hall, which had about a seating of about 700 seats. And they put posters around towns, around the town, on different telephone poles and places where they could put up posters advertising, you know, and ancient Swami from India speaking about ancient Vedic literature. They try to make it very attractive. They hear something very mystical, very oriental. And so when the program time came, seven people showed up. They publicized it for a whole month. Only seven people showed up. But Prabhupada wasn't at all discouraged. He preached like there were 700 people there. And those seven people were very interested, and Prabhupada later was talking to them individually. And at the end, the devotees were apologetic to Prabhupada and saying, well, we're really sorry, Swamiji. They used to call him in those days Swamiji. We tried so hard, but nobody came. Prabhupada said, didn't you see? Narada Muni came. Narada Muni was here. Prabhupada could see Narada Muni. So how can we determine success by results? Of course, just like now we're about to do the book marathon. Yeah. I was just looking over the balcony into the courtyard. I was thinking, tens of thousands of books, maybe hundreds of thousands of books are out in that courtyard. Wow. Big plans for distributing books. And that's good. And that's the way we should be. We should think big. But what's going to please Krishna? The act itself is very pleasing, of course, because Prabhupada said distribute books. And if we do that, simply with distributing these books, somebody will benefit. It may not be the person who receives the book, but somebody will get an opportunity to read the book and to benefit from that book. But what's going to satisfy the devotees is not our scores, not how many books we distributed, but actually the mood that we perform this service in. That we're actually enthusiastic to please Srila Prabhupada and the present and previous acharyas by making this sacrifice to go out and distribute these books in order to spread Krishna consciousness and to give the conditioned souls an opportunity to come forward and practice devotional service, to learn about Krishna consciousness, to be exposed to this very important and very deep philosophical teachings about the science of bhakti. If we have these motivations in our heart and mind when we're out there, that's going to inspire us. And even if we have a good day, or we don't have a good day, depending on what we consider good or bad by how many books we distribute, it doesn't really make a difference. If we're enlivened by our motivations, if we have the right motivation, it's always a good day. Just like there's one devotee. His name is Parthasarathy. Have you heard of Parthasarathy? He's a really amazing person. I just met him in America in San Diego in September. He's a soldier in Iraq for many years. He actually did a Ratha Yatra in Iraq. In the compound of his base, he organized the Ratha Yatra. And many people came. Many of the soldiers came. He distributed 50 Bhagavad Gitas that day. He's a little guy. He's really small. And he's not really like, you know, an overpowering personality. But he has so much faith in Krishna consciousness and so much dedication to the process that he'll do anything to preach Krishna consciousness. So I just received a letter from him yesterday. Last night I was reading it. And he was explaining that he's in America now. He's trying to get relief from his service. He served in Iraq, now he's back in America. And he's been putting in so many petitions to different levels of the army arrangement to get released. Everyone's approving it. Oh yes, yes, yeah. You're finally, when it got to the last stage, some complications. So it looks like it's not going to happen. And he wrote this letter that they may keep me for another year and send me to Afghanistan. And one of his friends, when he heard that, he said, "Well, if you go to Afghanistan, you can do a Ratha Yatra there too." So, but he was out distributing books just last weekend, and it was raining and it was cold. In America, it's a little cold right now. It's getting really cold. And so he was underneath one shelter by a store, and they had a little awning, so he was under there distributing books. And he was dressed in a dhoti. And so, and he's out there, and nobody's buying. People are coming, they're talking to him, and nobody's buying. And he's out there all day. Finally, towards the end, one lady comes up to him and says, "Why are you dressed like that?" He said, "Well, I'm a monk, and I practice devotional activities," and he was explaining a little bit. She said, "Oh, I'm a yoga teacher, and I'm interested in all this, you know, this yoga and stuff. Let me see that book." And he was distributing only Gitas. He distributes only Bhagavad Gitas. So she just looked at the book. She didn't even open it. She said, "I'll take it." She put it in her bag. Then he had all his box of books right there. So she goes and she starts picking up all the books. He says, no, that's all right. I can pick them up. You don't have to help me." She says, no, I want all these books for my students." And she bought every book he had. Every book he had, she took all the books. And he wrote that. He was enlivened by that. He was out there all day, and it was in America. It's not like distributing books in India. People are not so eager to read about spiritual life, nor they have an understanding what is spiritual life. There's some interest there, but really to awaken people's interest in buying a book, you really, really have to be a good salesman. You really have to be, you know, somewhat innovative in how you deal with people, because people are, you know, they have big egos. Mm-hmm. The feature of America is big ego. It's one of the qualities of the Americans. I know I have personal experience with that. So it's, you know, so it's difficult to distribute books, especially in America. But if you're determined and you have some enthusiasm and some intelligence, you can do it. And he was just out there all day, and he was just determined. And he's a simple guy. He's not really very sophisticated in the way he does things. He's very humble. And he just loves, but his determination and his dedication is amazing. It's really, really amazing. And Krishna reciprocated. Krishna reciprocates. So that's bhakti, that faith in the process of devotional service, the desire to please the spiritual master, the desire to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that becomes foremost in one's practice of devotional service, then one starts to see how, in so many amazing ways, Krishna reciprocates one's efforts. And Krishna is always eager to reciprocate. But when he sees that simple dedication to the process of devotional service, then no matter how difficult it is, my service, or to whatever degree I have to do, it doesn't really matter. It's still my way to offer my love in devotional service. It doesn't really matter. And Prabhupada explains that this is the quality of success in devotional service. He quotes that verse from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Vyavyasatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahusakya Yanatascha Budhyo Vyavyasahinam. That those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Krishna is speaking, O beloved child of the Kurus, and those whose intelligence are irresolute, they are many branched. They have many desires. So Prabhupada said, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Das Kaur's commentary on this verse, which he explains that whether it's easy or whether it's difficult, that's not a consideration. That doesn't even enter into the paradigm. Whether my service is difficult or easy, that doesn't matter. It's my service. That's all that counts. And Prabhupada said, that was my success in spreading Krishna consciousness. I never considered whether it was easy or difficult. And Prabhupada went through a lot of difficulties. And for many of us, we would have easily been discouraged or defeated by the obstacles that Prabhupada had to face. But Prabhupada never considered that. He considered only one thing. It was the instructions of my spiritual master. It's the desire of Lord Chaitanya. So in the same way, when we have that mood in our devotional service, then Krishna supplies whatever we need to carry out our devotional service. If we have that faith, that dedication, that determination, and bhakti becomes manifest. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Anyone? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.